a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Second hour on a Monday. Yes, we just exit the Players Club with Jaren Hall from last hour. We enter a regular hour of KSL's unrivaled Scott Mitchell. Good to see you this week, dude. Thank you very much.
You know, it's always good to be here.
This is it. This is the first. I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about the game, but we really haven't broken much of it down because we like to do it on the air. So that's what we're going to do right now because we got to talk with Jaren a little bit about the whole thing. I want to know exactly what your thoughts are on it, and so that's what we're going to do. It's our 8:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. I was looking at this, and I heard a lot over the weekend from a lot of the BYU fans that I know, tons of text messages, lots of conversations with people about how well BYU did. I want to know your side of what you saw that Utah, that from what I gathered, there were a lot of, I can't believe that X, Y, and Z happened in the game. And the thing that I pointed out to you, Scott, was I hadn't seen a Kyle Whittingham team seem so out of sorts and undisciplined in a game that I've, especially a rivalry game like this. We've seen them, you know, have a couple of bad games here and there, but never in this rivalry like this.
Or a bad series, but not a bad entire game. Here's the most perplexing thing to me. You have 10 days. You have 10 days and an opponent that you know well, and not only do you know him well, but you're also going to get game film on him. And I know everyone, well, we're real vanilla in the first game, whatever. But you know the personnel. You know the schemes. You know what's generally going to happen. And the thing that's – so you have all this time, 10 days to figure this out. I don't know that I've ever seen a Utah team on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, so unsure of themselves, so kind of confused, and so very timid.
Right.
I mean – if anything, Utah football up front has always been stout, tough. They may not have had the athletes in the secondary or at linebacker or some of the skill positions, but they've always been able to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country in their front seven. And quite frankly, on offense and defense, they were blown off of the ball. And I've never ever seen this before from Utah.
Right,
and not only blown off the ball, sorry.
No, they got beat in the trenches for sure.
And it was just basic understanding, know your assignment stuff that they weren't doing. They just did not handle well.
My thing was is that Charlie Brewer came into the game and everybody was waiting to see, you know, this calm, cool, collected guy. That first interception was that was a bad throw and a bad miscue. It was like a bad throw and a miscommunication. And then you just saw a guy who on that last drive especially really a couple of bad balls that you went, oh, that ended the series for him, and then essentially ended the game. Did he take a step back, or was he just not? I mean, he's played in big stages before, Scott. That's why I wondered what we didn't see from Charlie Brewer that we were hoping to see.
I think the most disheartening thing for me about all of this is you make a big jump from game one to game two. You expect to play better, to be sharper, to have more game-ready intensity, and Utah went backwards. I don't know who Utah is. I don't know who Charlie Brewer is. I don't know who anyone on the Utah football team is now. I really don't. There's one guy. I know one guy on this football. Well, I know two.
Devin Lloyd.
You know Devin Lloyd.
Right.
And probably Nephi Sewell.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
But Mekhi Bernard really just jumped forward.
Going forward, right?
Yeah, unbelievable for him. And so, but other than that, I don't know anything. I have no idea what's happening with the rest of this football team, and that's massively disconcerting to me.
One of the things that I had, of all the things that we broke down over the weekend, I was looking at the stats, I re-looked at them, I went back through, and I kept looking at the stats and being like, what were the things that kind of stood out? One, it wasn't a tremendous game offensively, really, for either team. Except for the fact that BYU ran for 200 yards on a Utah defense. You never see give up 200 yards on the ground that often. And then on top of it, the third down conversions, BYU was able to get every third down that they wanted. And Utah, on the flip side, wasn't converting hardly any third downs.
When you have third and long and you're converting a high percentage of third and long, that never happens. You're BYU. And Jaren Hall, I mean, it was throws. 12, 15-yard throws, big-time throws that just should have been covered a lot tighter than they were. And then the runs. When he was running the football on those third and longs, I mean, those are backbreakers. When you're trying so hard as a defense and you can't contain a guy like that, and just to convert those third downs
and
like
sometimes
that,
they knew just, it was coming, too, yeah, and they still didn't stop it.
You have to make a guy like that move up in the pocket. You cannot let him get out on the edge. And it's a lack of discipline and angles on your pass rush. And so you're not getting there. And then you loop back to the inside and you basically just open the gate. You cannot do it. And that was part of the unprepared part of this for Utah. It's like, I mean, I was asked all last week. I do a thing where I the keys to the game. One of the keys to the game, you have to contain Jaren Hall. You have to make him sit in the pocket, and you have to say, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us throwing the football. You're not going to beat us running the football, because he's too special of a talent to do that. And Utah did not do that. Okay,
on the flip side, and we heard from Jaren already tonight. But what did you think about his performance? Like, on paper, it was like, hey, again, the numbers aren't off the charts, but three touchdown passes speak for themselves, and the zero interceptions part is a huge part of that, because BYU in the past have been burned by those
turnovers. You're playing a really good football team, and you have to take care of the football. And he was very good at managing the game, and they did a brilliant job of picking the moments when he ran, and they were just crushing times. And I don't know if some of it was by design, some of it was Jaren, but he was very uncanny at that. But it wasn't just running. He has a long third down that he completes down the sideline. He has a pass to Dallin Hoker that he completed. He had some big throws in big moments, and so it wasn't just by his legs. Here's the thing for Utah. Okay, you want the silver lining here? As ugly as Utah played, it's as ugly a game as I've seen Utah play, period. Like, I've just never seen anything like this. They still had a chance to win the game in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, you play as bad as you want, and you're still kind of in a game. That's a good sign. The other part of it is, and this stinks if you're a Utah fan in the rivalry, because it's going to go away for a couple of years, and you're not going to come back next year and redeem yourself. You're going to have to live with this for a while. But as far as Utah's football team and winning a Pac-12 championship and moving on, an early season loss you can overcome. You can absolutely overcome it, and it means
especially
nothing.
Especially when you see your South rival USC get throttled at home.
It's the only part you can even remotely feel happy about is you're actually up against USC in the conference already, and you haven't even played a conference game. And other than that, a complete debacle. Awful, terrible.
So where does Kyle start with something like that? I mean, when they break that film down.
Where he starts
I'm interested to see what Devin Cafusi says.
He starts in the locker room after the game. Like, everyone was out. Nobody was in the locker room. No media, no nothing. Ooh. No, I didn't think they let the coaches in the locker room.
Just one lock, and, one coach.
And it, yeah, there was one coach. And I can only imagine. It's one of those things. I think I'd pay thousands of dollars just to be a fly on the wall and just to hear what he had to say. I think it's a massive disappointment. This team felt like it was better, thought it was better. And the reality is it's not.
On the flip side, you had Kalani getting carried off the field, drenched with the Gatorade. And I thought that, of all of it, I do know a ton of Utah fans who went, but I like that guy. We like Kalani. That's one they're like, Bronco Mendenhall,
right.
We hoped that that guy was going to lose that game. But like on the other side, you're like, well, Utah fans generally like Kalani.
And it's so sweet for him because of the relationship with Kyle, coaching at Utah and BYU and all that stuff. I've been on that side of it where you had lost for years and years and years, and then you get to finally break that streak. And there's winning a football game, and then there's winning a game that you have, your rivalry game like that. And those are some of the sweetest victories you'll ever have. He'll remember that forever.
Speaking of the Pac-12 South, big news today, of course, is USC fired Clay Helton, a statement made by their athletic director. Mincing no words, they won national championships, and they were not getting it from Clay Helton. A bad weekend for the men of Troy. We're going to take the break here. More to go. Jeremiah Jensen is going to break it down with us next on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.